Let's dive into it. Tonight, we want to do exactly this. We want to give you good vibes. We want you to be refreshed. We want you to have your mind be put at ease. We want to give you something good to look forward to. Instead, yeah, how about something good to look forward to? Ask people on the street, are you looking forward to the holidays? Oh, God, no. Why not? They're expecting a negative outcome. They're expecting debt. They're expecting drama with their families. They're expecting the government to be crazy. Hey, listen, man, the government's full of people. We pray for them. We better be praying for them. But we don't put our trust in them. They're always going to be squirrely. Never expect a committee of self-involved people to put your best interests at heart. Amen. That's not the people I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the gentleman from the movie The Patriot. I'm going to paraphrase, but he said, why would I put my confidence in and 3,000 tyrants 3 miles away? Talking about why trust a democratic government versus a king. Like, tyrants plural, you know, they're still, they're never going to have your best interest at heart. So that's exactly what we want to do tonight, and do it by this, giving you what God is telling you, giving you what God is saying to you, but saying to you as in like what he gave me to share with you. And let's keep it super simple. What he gave me in my heart today, listening to him, being quiet, tuning into what he's saying to me personally in my heart, and through his word as he led me by his spirit, that will give you something that will give you good vibes, refresh your mind, put your mind at ease, help you to look forward to something good instead of to look forward to something bad, lift your spirits, cause the negative junk to roll away, help you see clearly that, oh, that's negative and I don't want that and that's from God and I will take that, and that's what it's going to do for you. So let's get into it tonight. I want to first take you to a story, and this has given me such help because, listen, I know a lot of people in ministry. I think a lot, you know, I mean, there's people who know a lot more people in ministry than I do, obviously, but they're not with me 24/7. In fact, I can go a couple weeks and not talk to someone who's in, you know, maybe except for one, but, you know, here and there. Because I'm doing what I do, you know what I mean? Like, and not always is it super involved with other people who are in day by day ministry. Because I'm involved with something that I'm more dealing with day by day, average, everyday earth people, and that's the nature of what I'm supposed to be doing. So I can go, a long time before someone. Before someone has to talk to me who's involved, who else is involved with ministry every day. And sometimes you can feel your feelings, man, feelings will show up to sabotage and to wear you down and get you down. And listen, it doesn't take much effort to just suddenly go by what we feel and what we see and, you know, and go with those thoughts, man, no one's thinking about me and no one knows me and I don't know anybody. And how could I ever get success, you know, because I don't know it. I'm not connected like some other people are. And I'm not related to, you know, famous ministers like some people are and things like that. And this has a universal application. This can work in the industry that you're in, the company that you're in, who you work with, who you work for, your everyday life, your school, university, whatever. It doesn't matter. Feelings from darkness and from the devil will want to try to make you feel isolated, cut off, by yourself. This is a age-old tactic and an attack to make you feel cut off, by yourself, unimportant, insignificant. I'm thinking of the prophet right now. He was alone and in the cave and said, God, I'm the only one left and I'm all by myself. And as I like to say, he was all up in his feelings. He was all up in his feelings. You know what I mean? And so, but notice the general consistency to make you feel alone, unimportant, just adrift like a blown weed on, or a seed, whether it's like a fluffy dandelion seed on the wind, just some insignificant thing being blown on the wind all by yourself. Don't have the answers. And sometimes you can feel like, I don't even know how I'm going to be able to make it up in the morning, tomorrow morning. Like, I don't even know how, today was such a day from hell, I don't even know how I'm going to be able to wake up tomorrow. And you feel all by yourself. And before we get to this story, I think I mentioned it last time. We were together talking about getting answers from God and able to get your questions answered. David, man, he had a bunch of guys with him who were just, I'm talking, these were some pipe hitters, man. These were guys who are no stranger to armed conflict. And they came back and something had happened at home while they were gone where an enemy force had snuck in like a bunch of just savage rats and taken their families and their children, or their wives and their children, and burned their homes. And it's also psychological warfare, if we were just looking at it, being honest. I mean, it was out to make them feel devastated. And they got back, and everybody is sad and broken and devastated. And they said they wept and cried until they had no more strength to weep. And then they all began to turn on David as though it was his fault. That is a very lonely place. Everybody's blaming you. And you don't have an answer for what to do. But the Bible says this. It says that David began to encourage himself in the Lord his God. Well, that's the King James. How do we see it? How about this? David began to remind himself and lift his own spirits about the Lord his God. Now, let's draw your attention back to this. Let's go back to the Passion Translation of Psalm 23:1. The Passion Translation of Psalm 23:1 says this. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. And it says, I always have more than enough. Well, and we should think this way, but that not only means we have abundance naturally, you know, finances, food, necessities, requirements, things like that. But it also means this, I always have more than enough peace. I always have more than enough positive excitement about a positive outcome, which is hope. I always have more than enough friendship and presence of God. I always know he's with me, and he's letting me know that he's with me. And listen, the spiritual things are even more important than the natural things. They're both important. And don't let anybody rob that from you. You need to be supplied. You can't pay your bills on John 3:16. You got to pay your bills with supply from God. You got to pay your bills with money on this earth. And it makes things, we got to get the gospel of that God is your best friend and has sworn a blood covenant with you. We got to get it all over the earth. And I know that me personally, there isn't enough natural labor that I can do in between times that I need to speak or be present somewhere in order to pay for it all. I can't do it on my own. I need God's help. I need him to deal with people for me and see to it that it comes in. But let's get back on track with that. We weren't off track. Let's get back on the specific topic. You need to have more than enough of God's peace and friendship and fellowship and have it all the time. You know what I'm saying? You need that when times aren't good. You need that when it feels like he's not there. To have so much confidence and so much conviction that when things look the worst, you can be reminded in your heart by the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said brings all things to our remembrance. We can remember like David did and remind ourselves out loud with our mouth, in spite of how we feel, in spite of the paralyzing thoughts trying to cross our mind of loneliness and rejection and loss and everything's over and it's a lost cause and everything's broken. We can remind ourselves that the Lord's with me. He's with me. He's my shepherd. He's my best friend. I'm sticking with him. He's sticking with me. And I know it probably didn't take very long before he's like, hey, maybe I should ask him what to do. It's not over yet. He fights my battles and he's with me. And these folk are, they can't be gone that long. So he yells for the priest. Hey, come here. Come here. Bring me the prayer garment. And David put it on because he was anointed. He wasn't out of his lane. He was supposed to do that. He put the prayer garment on. And he said, God, shall I go after this troop? Shall I pursue? And he heard the Lord speak to him. He heard his best friend say something to him. And his best friend says to him, go, for you shall surely overtake them, and you shall doubtless overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now he knows, not only he knows already that his friend's with him, but now he's heard his friend's decree on the matter. He's heard his friend's statement on the matter. I'm not only going to catch him, I'm going to get everything back. It put strength in him. It lifted his spirits. It refreshed his mind. He's got a new outcome to look forward to. And he checks his sword. And he puts his kit on. And he puts his helmet. He just slings it on his back. And he gets his shield. You know, maybe works his shoulder out a little bit. Takes a couple deep breaths. Pats his pockets for make sure he's got some snacks for the road. Checks his water bottle. And off he goes, baby. He never looks around and waits for anybody. And I believe that with all my heart that if he had to, he would have gone and killed every one of them himself, just like he did Goliath. But listen, you know, courage is contagious. Lifted spirits is contagious. I believe those guys who were with him who wanted to kill him just a couple minutes ago, they see him take off and go, hey, wait a minute, wait. Oh, snap, you know what he's doing? He's going after him. Let's go, let's go. Somebody's going to get got today. Somebody is going to get got today. This ain't over yet. I'm thinking... Go with me on this. I'm hearing Will Smith in my heart and my mind from Independence Day. Go, I ain't heard no fat lady. I ain't heard no bell. Man, that's good. Well, listen to this, man. Well, to give you the end of the story, he not only got them, they smote them for like end of the night and into the next morning. They killed every last one of them. Oh, and they got all their family members back. They got their wives and their children back. It was a good day to be with David. It wasn't over yet. And he got exactly what the Lord said to him and what he saw on the inside, that new outcome that he was excited about. He got it. So over in the book of Acts, let's go over to the book of Acts chapter 18. And I want you to look at a story. Now, Paul had some, the Apostle Paul, he had some wild stuff happen, man. He had turmoil. He had people show up and do crazy stuff. He had demons follow him around in the form of, you know, inside of people and say crazy stuff day and night. I mean, he had all sorts of wild stuff. And this isn't really moving the needle, so to speak, on something, you know, really outlandish or unusual. But listen, sometimes things don't need to be, you know, crazy to get at you. Sometimes it's the day-by-day stuff that can just, can we just say it like this? Everyday average street level living. just sometimes those everyday street level stuff can just, it can hurt your feelings and mess with you. Just catch you off guard. And it says this in Acts chapter 18 and verse 5. It says, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. And he had a purpose that was, he had something in his heart that was pressing, that was not pressing like he felt pressure. That's what the devil does. He felt pressed as in like something was pushing on his heart. You get what I'm saying? Like something was like, man, that is strong and it's right there. And it kept being reminded to him by the Holy Spirit. So he knew it was important. He said, and he testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And it says this in verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, what does that mean in everyday? They resisted what they heard, and not only that, they argued with blasphemy in church. Let me paint a picture for you. He went into a church to preach. He went into a church setting with church people and got treated very unchurchified. He got treated ugly. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever been treated ugly in a church setting? or by church people? Has church culture ever been unkind to you? Well, it was unkind to Paul that day. I've had church culture be unkind to me, and we spend a significant amount of our time helping and serving people who have also had very unkind things happen in church settings or by church culture as a whole. And he had it happen to him this day. And he shook his raiment, like he just shook the dust off. It was a gesture. It was part of their culture. When he shook it, that's kind of like him doing this, him, you know, brushing each shoulder, kind of like, I'm getting all your mess off of me, and I'm not taking that, and I'm taking all your drama and all your uncoolness, and I'm brushing it off. And he said unto them, he said, your blood be upon your own heads. What happens from this point forward is on you. He said, I am clean. What happens to you from now on isn't my problem. I've said what the Lord wanted me to say to you, and you've hurt me. And you've tried to, you know, you've not only rejected it, but you've rejected it with blasphemy. He said, so henceforth, I'm going to the Gentiles. I'm going somewhere else, baby. I'm going to people who will listen to me. And he said in verse 7, or the writer, Luke, said in verse 7, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God. He went to a friend whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord. Well, this is kind of more anecdotal here. And it says, and he went on to have some success. He said, many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Now, he had some success. People listened, believed. But he had something that was really upsetting. He had a rejection. He had a big old fat no be given to him. And not only a no, a mean one. So let's not try to be overly specific, but let's make this be applied to us in our lives and in many different ways. You ever had someone give you a big old no? How about this? You ever had somebody be ugly to you? Reject you? I dare say this. Sometimes some rejections can stick with us all of our lives. Feel rejected. And it says this in verse 9. This is where we wanted to get to. Then spake the Lord. Now, this is Jesus, because he's been revealed in the New Testament that the Lord is Jesus. And that Jesus is Lord. And, well, is God not Lord? Oh, yeah, the Lord, he is God. But he's revealed his Son to us. Man, hallelujah. And our Lord Jesus sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to dwell with us. And the Holy Spirit's God, too. So it was God in three parts, but they're all one. But it says this, that the Lord spake to Paul in the night by a vision. Man. Now, I want you to see this. Put Psalm 23:1 from the Passion Translation back in here where it says, Lord. The Lord, our best friend, spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Listen, don't put a whole lot of stress and overimportance on the vision. That's how the Lord Jesus decided to speak to Paul that night. You may go your whole life as a being best friends with God and never have a vision and be absolutely just fine for it. I've heard it said by my elders in the faith, and I wholeheartedly agree. Don't seek the vision. God has abundant ways that he's, thank you, Lord, strong and effective ways that he's already set up and given us to each one of us as his best friends and as his sons and children, as the righteousness of God in the new covenant, to speak to us already. So leave it like this. If he uses a vision, fine. If he doesn't, you're still just fine. Amen. All right. So he goes on to say this. Just hear what the Lord's saying to him, because it's written in here that if for our benefit, because if he said it to him and we know about it, and it's revealed like it is in written form, we can take it for ourselves. It says, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not your peace. Well, the rejection of those people that not only rejected, but swore and blasphemed when they rejected. Listen, that can make you step back and recoil. And man, maybe I don't want to say anything here. Goodness gracious. But look what Jesus said. Don't be afraid. Keep saying what I've told you to say and don't hold back. Don't hold back out of fear of rejection. I can hear the Lord in my heart saying to you in this message, don't hold back from enjoying your life because people got mad at you about it. Don't hold back from enjoying your life in God, your best friend, because someone may get upset with you about it. You go on and enjoy your life with God, who is your best friend. Man, isn't that good? And he says, here's the reason why. Now, if Paul couldn't help but be afraid, or he needed Jesus to hit the magic switch to not be afraid, Jesus could have just done that. But why would he say, be not afraid, as like a command? Because it's Paul's responsibility and Paul's choice to decide to not be afraid. Well, Jesus being Jesus had to give him a reason that could make him confident and decide to not be afraid. Verse 10. And this is it. This is the reason. For I am with you. The King James says, for I am with thee. Man, how awesome is that? Here's your reason why you can decide to not be afraid of rejection, of bullies, of bad treatment, of feeling alone, of the holidays making you feel isolated and cut off. Be not afraid, for I am with you. That's awesome. You don't need to have any other reason to not be afraid other than to know that Jesus, your best friend, is with you. Now, he's telling him this for this reason. We learned it recently as we were talking about it in the Romans, the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and a hearing by a saying or a report or a word, something spoken personally by God. Jesus is giving him a reason to be confident, and he's doing it by saying something to Paul. He said, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. But the big reason, the big thing here is, Paul, decide to not be afraid. Keep doing what you're doing for me, for I'm with you. That lifts Paul's spirits. And it goes on to say he continued there a year and 6 months, 18 months, teaching the word of God among them. Not only did he not hold back, he stuck with it for another 18 months. Listen, I've heard preachers say, who I have listened to, who've gone to certain towns and places and churches and be treated so roughly, man, like they couldn't wait to get in the car and leave or go get on an airplane and fly out of there. That's the way all their feelings felt. Like, man, I don't want to be with these knuckleheaded people. Not only were they mean, they were ugly. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. Decide to fear not. Decide to, thank you, Lord, decide to reject fear for this reason. For I'm with you. Man. So Paul not only stuck with saying what he had to say, which was to testify that Jesus is the anointed one, he's the Savior, our best friend and sacrifice, but he stuck with it for another 18 months in that spot where he had rejection. Now listen, here's his condition. Rejected, feelings hurt, he's in a city that isn't home. When you're in unfamiliar surroundings, it seems like every rejection and every, it seems like every negative thing just piles up on you and confounds you. Everything hurts more. The thoughts that scream at you on a daily basis that you may be able to brush aside in your familiar surroundings of home, or even worse, when you are not home or in some, you know, somebody else's house or in a hotel, or doesn't matter. I'm just saying that his feelings are running strong. He's human like anybody else. Why do you think Jesus said, don't be afraid? Because he had fear trying to get with him, just, or get at him like anybody else would. But Jesus's message right in the middle of the feelings and the hurt and the questions is to decide to not fear, because I am with you. Now that fear will show up in the form of feelings. It'll show up in the form of thoughts. It'll show up in the form of letting you know what everybody else is thinking about you. You ever had those thoughts show up? I'm like, man, well, you know, they're just, they don't like me, and they can't stand me, and no, and nobody likes me. And where are you getting that from? Those are fearful feelings. That's the fear of man. The intense, negative monsters in your own mind, I've heard it described as far as fear goes. Trying to get you to succumb to fake evidence being broadcast and transmitted to you through your feelings and through your mind. Now, but Jesus says, decide to fear not. Decide to not fear. Because he, Jesus, our Lord and best friend, is with us. Now, I want to point this out to you. And this is what the Lord gave me some time ago. And boy, it helped me. No one else could do what happened here for Paul other than our Lord and best friend. No one could give him this kind of word. No one can make him feel this backed up. No one could give him this much sense in his heart and conviction of someone is still sticking with him and being loyal to him. That is so crucial. Because what you need most in a time of feeling rejected and when you're upset and fearful, you need a friend. You need the friend, the book of Proverbs says, sticks closer than a brother. Listen, no matter how connected we are in our network or in our associates or whatever, and no matter how abundant we are, you can have all the money in the world. And let's break that down to something a little bit more tangible. You could have a lot of money on hand and still feel rejected and still be upset and still feel people unhappy of how you've been treated. The money can't put a salve on your feelings. Things will hit us that can only be overcome by looking to our best friend who is with us permanently. Let me say that again. Things will hit us that can only be overcome by looking to our best friend who is with us permanently. Jesus' loyalty to you is being transmitted to you and being spoken to you through these very verses. And he's letting you know, I'm sticking with you. I'm loyal to you. I'm right here with you. And I'm not going anywhere. And that's giving you a reason to make the decision to fear not. Paul had a part to play. He had some cooperation that had to kick in here. Jesus is saying, I'm sticking with you, but if you fear, this thing is going to break down. So not only did he say, you know, hold not your peace, but speak, but there had to be a first things first. And that first things first was, Paul, decide to not fear because I'm with you. Decide to not fear and then get back to work because I'm with you. I'm with you helps you get the job done, and I'm with you helps you not be afraid while you're doing the job. Does everybody see that? Good. Hallelujah. Psalm 23, verse 4. Let's look at this. Psalms 23, verse 4. Just make a note of it in your notes. Psalm 23, 4 says that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now look, he just talked about going through green pastures and being led, you know, beside still waters and in the paths of righteousness for God's name's sake, and all these wonderful things that along our journey with God. But he also said that all of these beautiful things we're going to be led to and led beside and enjoy in the paths and the friendship and the fellowship with God, it's going to happen in a very ugly place called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. That is the Bible term for this earth deployment. We are going, walking through the Valley of the Shadow of Death, where death casts a shadow over our lives. Because if Jesus tarries his coming, as the Bible says, we're all going to die. And that's a specter that, that's a shadow that hangs over and casts a shadow in this deployment. But he says right here, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says this, I will not fear. He says, I will fear no evil, no negativity. That includes lack of peace. That includes feeling upset. That includes feeling rejected. He said, I'm not going to fear it. But notice, it doesn't say, I never fear evil. He says, I will not fear evil. What is he saying that for? I will fear no evil. I'm deciding to not fear, and it's for this reason, for thou art with me. God being with us present, meaning he and all of his power and resources and strength is here right now, right here. He's not just here present, which he is. He's also here willingly. He wants to be here. When God said to Paul, and he said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and he said it in Joshua chapter 1, and a couple other places we're going to mention, when he says, I'm with you, he not only means right here present, which he is, he's right here. He also means I'm with you loyally. I'm with you willingly. I want to be here. I'm committed to you. I'm going to make up a new word. I'm with you committedly. I'm with you 100%. Amen. He goes on to say, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Note right here, and this is what the Lord wants you to see through this, your best friend. Note that David the writer makes the decision to not fear because, verse 1, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He said, I will not fear, for thou art with me. He makes the decision to not fear because his best friend is with him. He makes the decision to not fear because his best friend is with him. Hey, listen. Of course we could go in a in a lot deeper detail and teaching. But hey, listen, let's just stick with right here. Let's just take this one and let's just take this first burger off the grill and just enjoy eating this one. You know what I'm saying? Let's just enjoy this one right here. Let's enjoy knowing that I can decide to fear not and decide to fear not. That's the King James. Let's decide and use our everyday street level English language like we normally use. I can decide to refuse to fear because I know that Jesus, my best friend, is loyal to me and sticking with me. You can decide to not fear walking into the job, walking out of the job after you've just been treated ugly. You know, you got to go back there tomorrow among all these knuckleheads. Wherever you may be, on the job, on a team, in a squadron, in a workplace, driving a truck, whatever. You can decide to not fear because your best friend is right there with you because he wants to be. He is wholeheartedly and completely committed to you. I'm thinking of the passage in Romans, I believe it's in chapter 5, when he says that while we were yet sinners, God demonstrates his love for us and the fact that Christ died for us. Demonstrates. God demonstrated his wholehearted commitment that is called love, the highest form of commitment that exists, when he sent his best and only, Jesus himself, to die for us. At our worst, God showed his commitment to us the strongest. Well, how much more knowing, you know, now that you and I, who have gone all in all the time with him and accepted his love and accepted his friendship, and we love him too, how much more now? At your worst, he was committed to you. How much more now? At your worst, he was sticking with you to get your attention. How much more now that he has your attention, he's sticking with you? Man, I keep thinking about this scripture. I've thought about it all evening, and we're just going to say it. Psalm 89, 34. He said, my covenant, my sworn commitment in blood that came out of how much I love you. He said, I will not break it. And I won't change what I've said. I won't change what I've said. What did he say? I love you. And I'm with you. And I'm sticking with you. I think of what he said to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 5. And he said, I will not fail you nor forsake you. I won't let you down and I won't reject you. Man, that is such good news. Well, this is the Passion Translation of this same Psalm 23:4 says this: you remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Can you see what's going on here? God's not afraid to get right down again, everyday street level living with us, and walk us through every step of the way through the valley of the shadow of death and stick with us. I tell you what, that's the best friend we could ever have. That's the best friend we could ever have. Man, that's good news. Look at this. He goes on to say this: your authority is my strength and my peace. He said, the comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. Listen, we're dealing with the holidays right now, and some people really, they've got a tough time with these times of year because how much it reminds them of things they don't have or things they used to have but are gone. Maybe they had a big family and people have died, and mama's dead, daddy's dead, sisters are dead. You know, people could have been, you know, have who they enjoyed to be around or no longer here. Relationships may have, fell through, and they feel alone. Maybe you feel alone. But I want you to hear this. He said, I'm never alone, for you are near. You can be alone physically, if it's just you in the room, and not be lonely. Because go back to the King James Version. For thou art with me. You've always got him. And he's real. Listen, you have God, your best friend, 24/7. You've always got him. That is so helpful. Man, that's good vibes. That's refreshing to the soul. That lifts our spirits. That gives us an outcome to be excited about. Listen, I know this may not feel too great, but I got him. I this is trying to bum me out, but I've got him, and he's sticking with me, and he's my best friend. My family got ugly with me. The boss was mean and didn't give me time off, but I got him. He's sticking with me. Whew. He won't reject me. He won't be mean to me. He won't be ugly to me. That is such a comfort. Look at what he said. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. Oh, man, I'm feeling better already. John, the 16th chapter, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's about to have the big moment. big moment, meaning he's about to get arrested. He's about to be rejected by his disciples. They're all gonna cut and run on him under pressure. He's about to endure unspeakable agony physically, and even worse agony spiritually. Look what he says. He said, "Behold, the hour cometh and is now come, that you'll be scattered." Everybody's gonna, they're just gonna scatter like scared sheep. He said, "Every man to his own, and he shall leave me," notice this word, "alone." So I'm alone. He said, I'm about to be alone. This is the Lord speaking. And yet he knew he was going to have some strong things happen to him. But look what he says. "And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Listen, you and I, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, have been placed into the same fellowship with God that our Lord Jesus enjoys. We're in blood brother fellowship with Jesus, and we enjoy his same best friendship relationship with his Father that he does. You and I can say this ourselves about our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, with Jesus, our Lord and best friend. I'm not alone, because the Father's with me. I'm not alone. Again, Acts chapter, we started talking about Acts chapter 18. I'm not alone. The Lord, my best friend's with me. Listen, right now, while you're listening to this or watching this, say it out loud. I'm not alone. The Father's with me. I'm not alone. The Lord, my best friend, is with me. You can say that as you fall asleep tonight, and it will do nothing but just improve your outlook, lift your spirits, comfort your soul, and remind you and give you a strong conviction, I'm not alone, he's with me. See, he's not only with us, just passing through life with us, he's fighting our battles, he's handling our problems as much as we will let him and entrust to his care. It's good news. It's such good news. Isaiah 41:10. Let's take us over there. Isaiah 41, chapter 10. Man, I got to tell you, I use this weekly, sometimes daily, sometimes even more than that. But I get a lot of mileage out of this verse. Isaiah 40, chapter 10, 41, 10, 40, 41, verse 10. This is the Lord speaking. Now, what's so important about the Lord speaking here through a prophet? Because the prophet is the messenger who's delivering a message from God that has an availability to it. It's available to anyone who will decide to accept it, and available to anyone who will decide to believe it. That means you and me. He said, fear thou not, for I am with you. Can you see a theme developing here? God is giving us a reason to decide to not fear. The book of 1 John, very little book, only 5 chapters in it, says that fear has torment in the 4th chapter. Fear has torment. Torment meaning pain, torture, inflicted discomfort. He says, fear thou not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed. What is the word dismayed? It means to look around and lose heart by what you see, to lose courage, or to be discouraged, to have your, how about this, bad vibes, have your spirits darkened instead of lifted, weighed down instead of lifted up, to only see a negative outcome instead of something good. And he says, for I am your source. I am your God. I am your best friend. Well, that already reminding him, okay, well, hey, wait a minute. Hey, don't look around. Look at all that negativity. Don't look at all that nastiness. Don't look at these thoughts. Don't look at these feelings. He's with me. And he says, I'll strengthen you. He said, yes or yea, I will help you. He said, I'll uphold you by the right hand of my righteousness. I'll use all the power of me being your blood covenant best friend to hold you up. That sounds like God has already decided to be a best friend to us, to stick with us. His loyalty right here is beyond doubt. And he's not just going to stick around and hang out in our kitchen and eat all our food. No, he's leading, he's out in front, settling all the battles and handling our problems and helping us not just barely survive it, but to get through it in perfect shape. He's decided that already. Well, he starts it off with our decision to make so he can do what he's decided to do. We need to decide to fear not. And decide to not lose heart by looking around at what we feel and what we see. Then yes, sir, I decide. I fear not, and I am not dismayed, for you're with me, and you are my God and my source. Amen. All right. Let me get back to my notes. The 56th chapter of Psalms in the third verse is very crucial. It's very simple. It's only one sentence long. It's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, about less than a dozen words. But it says this, the writer says this, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. That's a decision made under pressure. That's a decision made when he's feeling at his worst. Listen, anybody ever enjoyed fear? I mean, let's be honest about it. No, it's bad. It's negative. It's unpleasant. It doesn't feel great. It feels horrible. But he's made a decision here. And he's not only made a decision in the present, like right now, he said, he's decided that when this happens, I have this decision already made. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in you. What time I'm afraid, I'm going to put confidence in you, God, who is my best friend and my shepherd. That lets us know we've got a decision to make ourselves. We make it now, and we make it when the fear shows up, when the rejection can make you so afraid of what people think about you. It can make you question your value in life. And all of that's fear-based because it torments you. What other people think and feel about you into your own mind can torment you. How people have treated you or the fear of how people could treat you can torment us. But he said, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. How about we trust in the one who won't reject us? How about we trust in the one who won't kick us to the curb, who's decided that he's sticking with us no matter what? Well, in the few minutes we have left, let's end it on this verse. Hebrews chapter 13. In the fifth chapter, Hebrews 13:5. Let's go over there. Thank you, God. So Hebrews 13:5. Not 5:13, 13:5. All right. I'm going to get back to my notes too. Hebrews 13:5 says this, let your conversation be without covetousness. Now listen, some of this is kind of old English. We're going to explain what it means here real quick. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content. Decide to be happy with what you have. For he's going to give us the first and most important thing that we have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The he's talking about is God himself. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never abandon you. I'll never reject you. I'll never walk off from you. I'm going to use a 2021 word. I'll never ghost you. I'll never just split on you. That's a real thing socially. I mean, listen to people talk about it. Suddenly someone's just absent from your life. No explanation. And your people are scrambling to find out why they were rejected. Let me give you some more insight into this first. The Passion Translation says it like this. Don't be obsessed with money. He doesn't say money's wrong. Just don't be obsessed with it. He said, but live content. Live happy with what you have. He said this, for you always have God's presence. Your best friend is always present right now, right here in your life. And that's the most important and valuable possession you have, is him being in your life and him being present in your life. Amen. That can be counted on 24/7. Money can't. It fluctuates in value. It goes and comes. You may spend a whole lot and you've got, you know, you're waiting to get resupplied with it. However you do that, you can't put confidence in that. Money can't love you back. It says, for hasn't he promised you, I will never leave you alone, never. And I will not loosen my grip on your life. Oh, who's saying that? Our best friend is. But it goes on to say in verse 6, there's a way we cooperate with this. There's a way we enjoy the benefit of this present loyalty of our best friend. Verse 6, so we can say with great confidence, I know the Lord is for me, and I will never be afraid of what people may do to me. Isn't that good? He says, be happy with the things you have. Be happy with God's presence in your life that you have right now. Knowing this, that he's already said to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll not loosen my grip on you. I'll not abandon you. Man, I'll never leave you alone. I will never leave you alone. The Message translation says this, and I like this so much. I'll never let you down, and I'll never walk off and leave you. Hey, man, that lifts the spirit. You know what I mean? That that buoys up our soul and gives us confidence. That's got good vibes all in it. You know what I mean? Thank God for it. Listen, the Lord is with you. He's here right now with you presently. He is here with you willingly because he wants to be. He is here with you committedly. We made up that word earlier. He's here with you committedly because he's decided to be. He'll never break what he said. He'll never change what he said. God is your best friend. He's here with you every step of the way. You may be by yourself physically, you know, in the room. But you're never alone because the Father's with you. The Lord, your best friend, is with you. Lord Jesus himself and God's very own spirit is living on the inside of you. Amen. Man, doesn't that make you happy? It should make you happy. Let's say it one more time. I'm so excited to say this. Say this. I am not alone. Because the Father is with me. Say this, I am not alone. The Lord, my best friend, is with me. Listen, you can have all the happy, content, excited vibes about that you want. You can go ahead and enjoy this as much as you like. You don't have to stop saying it just because the, you know, this block of training is over. This broadcast is over. You can say it all night long as you fall asleep, all day long. You can wake up tomorrow. Listen, you may wake up tomorrow before breakfast. It's Saturday morning. It may feel like 40 miles, a muddy road. And you can remind yourselves, oh, wait. Listen, self. The Lord, my best friend's with me. He didn't leave me overnight. He's still here. I know we may have some weird feelings right now, but I'm reminding myself the Lord's with me. Woo! You can change how you feel by what you believe and what you say. Amen. Isn't that good? Thank you, God. Now, listen, you go ahead and take that and put that in your pocket and keep it there. And you go back and listen to this resource. We're going to post it up on our training resources. Listen to as many times as you need. There's some messages I've lost count about how many times I've gone back and listened to them. And I've been listening to them for years, and I may still listen to them on a weekly basis. Sometimes I listen to them on a daily basis. The same one over and over and over again. And we want it to be a blessing to you. Also, last thing, we want to do more of this. We want to get more word out. We want to be in more places. We have things that we decided, and we know from God that we are supposed to do. And we've decided we're doing it, and we can't do it by ourselves. Now, I'm not saying this that it's all dependent on you. It's not. We're depending on God. But if you want to be a part of it and support it, you can. The job is going to get done. The Lord is our best friend and our shepherd. We always have more than enough. But you want to help send us and send this, what's blessing you, to other people? I am consumed with the knowing and the necessity that people have got to know how good this is. Amen. It's a team effort. If you want to be part of the team, you can, and you want to support this financially, you can do that. You can go online. You can either click the link below the broadcast here, or you can go online to pay it forward on our website, and you can do whatever the Lord's leading you to do. Amen. Listen, I love you, and we love you, and we're so grateful for you.